Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this very special day. Today, together, we get to celebrate the 2019 confirmation class of St. Mark's. God be praised. They're going to let you know all of the truths that they have learned and show that off to all of you this morning. We'll also get to celebrate with them and celebrate together the Lord's Supper. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. This is a meal of unity, where we celebrate our unity. So if you are not one with us in fellowship yet, and you want to know how you might commune with us in the future, please speak with myself or our other pastor, Pastor Colander. We can talk about how we can make that happen. Well, let us celebrate now with examination and confirmation service. Let's begin with hymn 232 that shows and remembers God's care for all of us every single day. That's in the Red Songbooks, 232. Continue with the examination of the confirmands, which I will be asking the questions from back here. But before we get started, just first a few points. This is not an exhaustive list of everything that these students have learned. It's simply an overview. This is actually their opportunity to confess what they've learned about God from their parents, their pastors, and teachers throughout their years. And this is also a good opportunity for all of us who are here to review the basic truths of Scripture. So I pray that we'll all be refreshed in them as we go through this and appreciate God's grace in Jesus all the more. Okay, the first thing we're going to cover is a good place to start as we consider God's grace for us. We're going to start at what we know and who we are by nature. Kaide, why should it be clear to everyone that there is a God?
Through conscience and creation.
Right, they reveal that there is indeed a God. Sean, so then if we know there is a God by nature, why do we still need the Bible?
The Bible reveals the truths about God and...
And what main thing does he reveal in the Bible? About whom?
That Jesus came to save us.
Good, yeah. Scott, what does the Bible reveal that sin does between us and God?
The Bible reveals that sin separates us from God.
Yeah, it separates us. Aiden, what good news does the Bible reveal to us?
The gospel in which Jesus paid for our sins.
Yeah, that Jesus paid for our sins. Caitlin, how can the words of the Bible be God's word if human writers wrote them?
Through divine inspiration.
That's right. God guided the writers through divine inspiration. Jacob, because the Bible is God's word, what three things does he forbid anyone to do with the Bible?
Add, subtract, or change the meaning.
Yeah, we want it just as he had said. Part of what God gives us in his word is what we call his law. When we speak of God's law, we're talking about the things God wants us to do and not to do. So Sarah, even outside of Scripture, everyone actually has God's law. How does God give his moral law to everyone?
He writes it on our hearts.
He writes it on our hearts, and that's what our conscience reads. Garrett, how did God give his law in a second way?
In the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, he wrote them down in the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Kaide, what are the three uses of God's law?
Curb, mirror, and guide.
Curb, mirror, guide. Sean, how does God's law act as a curb?
It threatens punishment and prevents people from sinning.
Yeah, so once you see that punishment, you want to stay on the road. Scott, how does God's law act as a mirror?
It shows us our sin and why we need Jesus.
Oh, good. Aiden, how does God's law act as a guide then?
It guides us to do what is God-pleasing.
Caitlin, as Christians, having God's law is nice because it shows how God shows us God's will, and of course we want to follow that. But why do we want to follow God's law?
Out of thanks for what Jesus did?
Yeah, simply out of thanks. Nothing that we earn. Jacob, Jesus is the only one who kept God's law perfectly. Why is it important that Jesus kept the law for us?
Because Jesus was our perfect substitute, and without him we couldn't do it.
Good, he gives us credit for that. Sarah, this is important because we can't keep God's law perfectly, as Jacob says, and earn eternal life because we sadly are this by nature. What is our spiritual condition by nature?
Sinful.
Yeah, sinful nature is what we have. Garrett, though we are by nature sinful, God graciously gave us new life through faith. Now through faith we have a new self within us. What does the old self do with the new self?
The new self fights the old self.
Yeah, it fights the old self. It battles it. Kaide, to help reveal the old self and its desires and to help guide the new self, God has given us the Ten Commandments. What one word summarizes all of God's commandments?
Love for God and for others.
Good. Love, yeah, specifically for God and others. Sean, as those Ten Commandments guide us in godly living, they also reveal our sins and our need for a Savior, as was said earlier. Thankfully, God also has given us his gospel. What does God teach us through the gospel?
The good news that our sins are forgiven through Jesus, our Savior.
Scott, therefore, God has given us two main messages in the Bible, law and gospel. How are we to use them differently?
So the gospel, okay, so hold on. Okay, so the law is what you use to show somebody they are sinning, and then the gospel is what you use to tell that person that they are forgiven and Jesus died for their sins.
Well said. Aiden, what three statements of faith summarize the gospel?
Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed.
And Athanasian Creed, good. Now in a little bit, you're all going to speak the Apostles' Creed as a confession of your faith before the congregation. There are three articles to the Apostles' Creed because it talks about each person of what we call the Trinity. Caitlin, what do we mean that we say when we say that God is the Trinity or triune?
He's three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Good. Jacob, how do we know that God is triune?
Because in the Bible it says they're all God, they have the attributes of God, and they do the work of God.
Well done. Sarah, who does the first article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
God the Son.
The first article of the Apostles' Creed.
God the Father.
God the Father. Garrett, the Apostles' Creed says that the Father is the maker of heaven and earth. How did God show his almighty power when he created the world?
He created it in 6 days, only through his words.
Yeah, simply by speaking. Kaide, when God created the world, we're told that he created mankind in his own image. What does the Bible mean when it says that God created humans in his own image?
He created us to be perfect and holy.
Perfect and holy like he is. Sean, what was the consequence of the fall into sin on the image of God?
The image of God was lost, and everyone has origin sin, and that's why we need a Savior.
Well said. Scott, who does the second article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
God the Son, or Jesus, whichever name you want to call it.
All are acceptable. Aiden, the second article talks about how Jesus is true God and true man. How do we know that Jesus Christ is true God?
The Bible calls Jesus God. He can do things only God can do. He is worshipped as God.
Yeah, and even worshipped as God. We'll see that today big time, too, in our lesson. Caitlin, how do we know that Jesus is true man?
It says so in the Bible, and he has the characteristics of true man.
Good, such as hunger and thirst and even died for us. Now, because Jesus is true God and true man, he was exactly the Savior the world needed, as we talked about. As true man, he was under God's law and was able to die for us. As true God, he was able to live a perfect life, and his precious blood paid for the sins of all people. So, Jacob, how does the redemption and forgiveness that Jesus won for us become our own?
Through faith.
Yeah, simply believing in what Jesus did, through faith. Now we're going to talk about that faith and how it's created and who helps us. And to do that, we go to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Sarah, who does the third article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Garrett, through what does the Holy Spirit call us to faith?
In our hearts, through God's Word.
Yeah, God's Word. Faith comes from hearing the message. Kaide, what ongoing work does the Holy Spirit do after we come to faith, after conversion?
He strengthens our faith and sets us apart from sinful behaviors.
Well said. Sean, why is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to keep us in the true faith so necessary?
Because our faith gets threatened by the devil, our sinful nature, and the sinful world.
Yeah, Scott, sadly, because of these unholy three, God in his righteousness and justice will send some people to hell. What's the difference between those who go to heaven and those who go to hell?
Those who go to heaven have saving faith. Those who go to hell do not.
Yeah, so faith or not, no faith in Jesus. Aiden, what will happen on Judgment Day?
Jesus will return to raise the dead. He will separate those who believe and unbelieve. And those who believe will go to heaven, and those who don't believe will go to hell.
Well said. Until that day, God has given us a great blessing. As we live our lives of faith on this earth, it's called prayer. Caitlin, what is prayer?
Speaking to God through our hearts.
Yeah, simply speaking to God. Jacob, why can Christians be confident that God hears their prayers?
Because in the Bible it says he does, and we need to trust that he does.
But how can we, if we're separated because of sin, approach a holy God? What are we covered by?
Oh, we're covered by the cloak of righteousness.
Good, Jesus is righteousness. Sarah, what is a model prayer for Christians to pray?
The Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, we call it the Lord's Prayer. You'll get a chance to speak that later, too. Listening to our prayers and everything else God does for us is rooted, all of it, in his great grace. So, Garrett, what is God's grace? Define grace for everyone.
God's undeserved love.
Well said. Kaide. God has revealed in his word that there are different ways he brings his grace to human hearts. What do we call those?
The means of grace.
The means of grace. Sean, the means of grace are essentially what?
The gospel.
The gospel. Boil it down to just simply the gospel. Scott, one way we receive the gospel is simply by hearing it and understanding it. But God also in his grace has given us two other ways we can receive the forgiveness of sins in the gospel message. What are they, and what do we call them?
Well, we call them sacraments, and their baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Yeah. Aiden, what is baptism?
Baptism is water in God's command connected with God's word.
Yeah, water and word. Caitlin, who does Jesus command us to baptize?
All nations.
All nations. Jacob, what is the Lord's Supper?
The Lord's Supper is Jesus' body and blood and the earthly elements, bread and wine.
Yeah, well said. You'll get a chance to partake. Sarah, How do you know Jesus' body and blood are truly there?
He says in the Bible.
Yeah, simply he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Another blessing God gives to us as his church is what we call the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Garrett, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven?
A special right that Christians have to forgive sins or not to forgive sins.
To forgive sins, yeah, that's quite the responsibility. Kaide, to whom has God given this power and right?
All Christians.
All Christians. Sean, we have two keys. They're called binding and loosing key. When would you use the binding key?
When someone refuses to repent, we should refuse to not forgive them.
Yeah, so we refuse to forgive them. We bind them to their sins. Scott, when would you use the loosing key?
When somebody finally repents of their sins, then you can tell them that Jesus forgave them.
Yeah, you loose them from their sins. You open the door to heaven. Aiden, what is always the goal in using the keys?
To guide those who sin to repent and forgive their sins.
Always to repentance and forgiveness. Good. Caitlin, how are we to receive the announcements of the forgiveness of our sins from pastors and other Christians?
As if from God.
As if from God himself, as Jesus promised. God has given all of this information about salvation in his word. We call it the Bible, which all points to Jesus, as you said earlier. So, Jacob, why is it important for us to be in God's word regularly then?
To strengthen our faith so we can fight against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh.
Well said. Sarah, what different ways can we stay connected to God's word?
Through church, devotion, and Sunday school.
Sunday school is a good one, that's right. Garrett, Jesus has also given us the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. Therefore, with God's word, what else do we want to do?
Preach the word of God to other people.
Preach it to other people, and brothers and sisters, that's what they've just had the opportunity to do for you this morning. May God bless that word that they have just proclaimed so boldly and confidently, and he bless that in your hearts as well. Well done, confirmands. We will now continue with the hymn of the day, hymn 160. 160 in the red songbooks. The word of God that forms the focus for us this morning in a message comes from Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The Apostle John says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." The word of the Lord. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your worth. Amen. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of the word worthsipe. Worthsipe. Confirmands, you thought the questions were done? Right? Have I ever explained to you worthsipe? It's an old English word. It means to ascribe worth to something. Literally, it's worthness or worthiness. It gives us our modern-day English word, worship. That's what worship means. Makes sense, because worship at its heart really is ascribing worth to someone or something. As Christians, we ascribe worth to God when we come here to gather and worship. But Paul also says that when we live our lives, that's also our spiritual act of worship. If you think about it, that makes sense too, ascribing worth to God as we want to honor him, make good choices for him, tell others about him. Makes sense. So how do you feel that you do ascribing worth to Jesus? Technically, we're always ascribing worth to him, but is it a lot or is it a little? Today in Revelation chapter 5, we get a little glimpse into heaven and just how much worth that the angels and you and I are going to ascribe to Jesus. And it ain't a little. It's a lot. So the hope is that as God gives us this picture of how much Jesus is worth to us someday, that it'll help us realize here and now how much he is worth to us, and especially as he sets the tone for your lives, confirmants. John, in his vision, looked, and he actually got to peek inside the throne room of God. And God was standing there in the center on his throne, and there you had angels and you had all believers of all time surrounding the throne, praising him, saying, "You are worthy." And then John looked and he saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain. And everyone was praising him, "You are worthy." And then angels burst forth, and that's what we hear next. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders." What a sight that must have been. Can you imagine seeing that and hearing that? All one unified voice, angels innumerable, praising God. But it wasn't that they were worshiping that was striking. The striking thing is what they said. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise and. The list couldn't get longer, could it? I mean, wow. We're talking about a lot of divine attributes, a lot of divine glory and praise here. Whew. That's what you and I, along with the angels in heaven, are going to be doing when we get there. We're going to be ascribing this kind of worth. I mean, we're talking about attributes Jesus surely showed in his life power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, praise. He deserved all of it. You look at how he used his power. He defeated sin, death, and the devil, our enemies that were otherwise undefeatable. He used wealth. He always said, oh, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me. Because it wasn't just all about material wealth. It was about wealth of time and talents, all for the glory of God. Wisdom. Boy, did he use wisdom as he was teaching, as he was guiding people. People who saw him at the age of 12 realized, hey, this guy's got some wisdom here. Strength, honor, and glory. You think of the honor and glory that he gave up, Jesus did, when he came down to earth. And here he was, veiled in flesh, born of a lowly family, born and placed in a manger. Even though he had all this divine glory that couldn't be denied, demons would try to talk about it and he'd get him to stop talking. People on Palm Sunday were praising, and he didn't stop that, and he said, oh, the stones will cry out, because he was going to do something later that week that would bring forth praise, and that's for sure, because the Lamb of God was slain. That is what makes him worth it, how worthy he has shown himself, and how worthy we're going to ascribe all of this to him someday. Whew. What a vision that had to be. So if that's the kind of worth that we're going to ascribe to him someday, why don't we always ascribe such worth to him in this life? Confirmands, you're going to be faced with a lot of temptations. A lot of things that a lot of us here have struggled with and fallen in. You'll sadly fall in a lot of it too. Some of those temptations are basically rooted in not ascribing worth to Jesus. We don't ascribe worth to his power and strength. So often we doubt the fact that he defeated sin, death, and the devil, and that we're actually forgiven, and that we actually do have a glorious future awaiting us. We fail to ascribe wealth to him. That's one that we really struggle with. Talking about all of the things that he gives us in this life, and we cling to it as if that's what really brings us worth in this life. But it's not just money and material things for wealth either. It's time and talents. We're all so blessed with time and so many talents. So are you. I've seen it. But so often, what do? We get so busy with earthly things that we leave no time for God. The wealth of talents that we have or that you'll develop someday, we so often refuse to give them to God too. Wisdom. How often does God try to give us his wisdom? Who has a God like us who gives us such a huge book and yet we can despise preaching and his word? Ignore it? We can think our own grand wisdom is greater or the world's. When God in his wisdom brings all these difficulties and tragedies into our lives, and he will, brothers and sisters, he does it in wisdom, and yet, if you're like the rest of us, you'll doubt how wise that is. You'll doubt his love. Honor and glory. Where does Jesus rank on your list of things that you honor in this life? If you're like me, the highest he ever gets is really the second. The first is me, myself, and I. But that's not always the case even. Maybe third? Tenth? Hundredth? Do you put things like things of this life or plans of this life or relationships in this life or desires for this life in front of Jesus? And glory, we often treat other things, worldly things, as more glorious as him. Sometimes we see the soft mattress and those warm covers, and we ascribe more glory to those than Jesus. Sometimes we ascribe more glory to the momentary peace we have when we choose not to wrestle the kids up and go to worship someday, and that will be a temptation. Sometimes we ascribe more glory and worth to worldly emotions, like the sweet taste of revenge, we so call it, or the glory we think we feel when we bully, or that satisfaction sinfully in our hearts we have when we gossip. Even our praise can be half-hearted. We can find the praise of God in whatever form it is as boring. Obviously, if you look at this list and you compare it to us, we are so unworthy. So God be praised that the Lamb is worthy. The Lamb is worthy of every sort of divine attribute or honor that you can give Him. He's worthy of it all. We get to ascribe all of that to Him. He is worthy. Why? Because He isn't the lamb who was unharmed. He's not the lamb who had a scratch. He's not the lamb who stubbed his toe on the cross. He is the lamb who was slain. He fully gave His life on the cross. He was the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who came to fully atone for every moment of our unworthiness. Why is He worthy? Because He had to be, and He knew it. Not for His sake, but for our sake. He knew He had to be worthy, because not only did He fully give His life, He fully gives His life. He credits His worthy, perfect life to us through faith, as you testified just a little bit ago. Now you and I have actually been made worthy of stepping into that throne room someday and praising God and ascribing all of this worth to Him. And if you notice in John's vision, we're ascribing worth to a lamb who was slain, but that's not all. He was standing at the center of the throne. He wasn't lying dead. The lamb was raised to life because He secured that future for us. Confirmants, brothers and sisters, that's what your future means. It's all rooted in the fact that Jesus is worthy. Worthy is the lamb who was slain. And the crazy thing is, now that He has all this power and wealth and wisdom and strength, honor, glory, praise, He has all of it, guess what He does? He uses it to bless us even more every single day, and He will all of your life. Just wait, you'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see His power and strength at work. When you feel weak, He'll strengthen you. When you feel like you can't overcome sin, He'll give you power through His Word. If you doubt anything to do with His power, guess what? It doesn't matter. He already defeated sin, death, and the devil. You are indeed forgiven. Wealth. He gives us all of this wealth. It's His in the first place, and He provides for us. He promises it. And when we give it back to Him, guess what He does? He uses that in turn to help us fulfill His commission that He's given us, to make disciples of all nations. Wisdom He gives through His Word. He guides us with good times and bad. Strength, honor, and glory once again. This is the kicker here. Honor and glory. Think of the honor and the glory that Jesus had as the Son of God and how undeserving we are of it because of our sin. Yet what does He do? He gives us His honor and glory. He shares that with us. He's going to seat us on thrones. He's going to give us crowns in heaven someday. He gives us the glory of eternal life, all of it. He even uses the praise that we bring Him in this life to bless us. He strengthens our faith through it. The praises that we speak to others create faith in them. Whew. With everything that He has, He surely proves that He is worthy. So, as you go through your lives, brothers and sisters, and as you do too, remember, He's worthy, and you know it. He's worthy of every second you give Him. He's worthy of every song you sing Him. He's worthy of every dollar you offer Him. He's worthy of every word that you read about Him in His Word. He's worthy of every day, much less one out of seven. He's worthy of every word that you share about him with others. He's worthy of it all. You and I are going to ascribe a lot of worth to him in heaven someday, and hopefully this glimpse of that will help all of us do so much better here in this life. Whether that's worship as we gather on Sunday mornings or worship as you live your lives. God bless you as you remember every day that the Lamb is worthy and he was slain for you. Amen. Please stand. May the power and might of our Lord Jesus guard your hearts and minds, and especially thinking of you today, eight confirmands. All thanks to his grace. Amen. Everyone can kind of get a second stretch a little bit. Once you're ready, you may be seated, except for the confirmands. Please come forward for the rite of confirmation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In obedience to the command of the Lord, you have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have been taught the precious truths of the Christian faith as confessed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You know what God has given you by his grace and what he expects of you as his dear child. You have now the privilege of receiving the Lord's body and blood and sacrament of Holy Communion. You are here to make a public profession of your Christian faith. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, lift up your hearts to the God of all grace and joyfully answer these questions. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge that in baptism, God gave you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? Do you reject the devil along with all of his lies and empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Do you believe all the books of the Bible to be the inspired Word of God? Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from Luther's Small Catechism, is faithful and true to the Word of God? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. Do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the teachings of God's Word, to be faithful in the use of the Word and Sacrament, and in faith and action remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as long as you live? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help. Since it is God alone who enables us both to will and to do his good pleasure, it is right for us, dear friends in Christ, to call on him for these confirmands, that he would graciously complete the good work which he has begun in them. Let us therefore bow our heads and pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these sons and daughters of yours to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in giving them both hearts to believe and mouths to confess his saving name. Enable them to bring forth the fruits of faith and to continue steadfast and victorious until the day comes when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together in the prayer that the Lord taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what we as a Christian congregation have here asked our Heavenly Father to confer on all of you, we now ask him to give to each of you individually. Kaide Baker, you have chosen a passage that really focuses on what we are, but also what we were, but also what we are now, thanks to God, and why. You chose Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The passage you have chosen is fitting as you go on your way from St. Mark's school, but not church, is not to fear the things of this world, but to go forth in faith with the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Go in peace.
Scott Covey, you have chosen a passage that reminds you not just of the fact that God is with you, but for how long. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:20.
Aidan Feldream, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. The gospel in a nutshell, fitting words as you go forth on this day, that God's love for you is boundless, and he has given you an example of love, the greatest example, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So continue to believe in him and have that gift of eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Go in peace.
Caitlin Hopping, you have chosen a passage that not just defines God's grace, but really helps us understand where it comes from and what it is. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
Jacob Rausch, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. A fitting passage that you have chosen to focus on where your true strength comes from, not from with you, but from the Lord. And he is the one who enables you to be strong and courageous today and every day until he takes you to be with him forever in heaven. So do not be discouraged as we hear these words from Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Go in his peace.
Sarah Vosberg, you have chosen a passage that will always remind you of the reward that is yours thanks to Christ. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10.
Garrett Webb. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. A fitting passage indeed that you have chosen from Psalm 60, that the Lord is going before you and he will trample down all your enemies. So continue to keep your eyes fixed and focused on him who gives you the victory now and forever. Psalm 60, verse 12, with God we will gain the victory and he will trample down our enemies. Go in his peace.
Your church now invites you to receive the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. Accept this invitation with deep reverence and holy joy. Regard your communion at the Lord's table as a precious privilege given you by God through his church. Receive this sacrament thankfully and often. The Almighty and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you. You may return to your seats. We'll continue with the thank offering.
Thank you.
Please stand in honor of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who rose from the dead in glorious triumph to bring forgiveness to the world and everlasting life to all who believe. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will bless and guide the new confirmands by your Holy Spirit, so that they and all of us may remain in you and your love until life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 332 in the Red Song Books, 332. Good morning again. Thanks for joining us here, and thanks to the confirmands for sharing God's word with us today and showing everything that you've learned here. May God continue to bless you and strengthen those things in your heart all the way until we praise him in heaven together. Big welcome to all of our visitors today. Just wanted to let you know that we have a welcome center with a number of free things there, but also some information about our ministry here. Now, if there was something in what the students were sharing, what the confirmands were sharing, that kind of struck you that you wanted to learn more about, well, we're going to cover all the things that really they've learned over the last 2 years. We're going to cover it in a class called Bible Information Class, and that's going to start up again here on Sunday mornings in June. It's in between services. So our next Bible Information Class, also for members, if you're interested in refreshing yourselves in those things, in June, that is when we'll begin that. It's going to be a new one compared to what we've done the last few Bible Information Classes, in case you're wondering about that as well. So it'll be a different course, but that'll start in June. Examination and confirmation cake reception is coming up here very soon. The confirmands are going to be joining me as we shake hands on the way out, but also make your way on out somewhere in the lobby or the Rose Garden, probably. Yeah, it's pretty beautiful, huh? So cake out there for the confirmands as well to celebrate. A few other announcements for you. Our Jesus Cares ministry, which is, if you didn't know, it's our special needs ministry. So we hold once a month on Sunday afternoons, the first Sunday of each month, a special needs worship service. Today we're going to have our second ever worship service, so we ask for your prayers for that. But also, if you know of anybody who's interested in joining for that, invite them. We've got some brochures on our Welcome Center for it, too, that kind of explain what it is. But let them know. We're talking about people who are on the autism spectrum, who might have Down syndrome or other special needs. If you have any questions about this, you can see myself or one of our directors for that. 2 p.m. today for our next one. River City Corral is here today at 4 p.m., so lots going on campus today. God be praised. We also have, you can buy tickets at the door, and there's information on that in the weekly news, but we have somebody who donated 4 tickets. So if you're interested in going tonight, here are some free tickets for you. There's 4 of them. Come see me. First come, first serve, but don't tackle me. Just come on up. Let me know if you're interested in them, and they're yours. VBS registration. If you know of anybody who wants to be a volunteer or if anybody who wants to participate, our VBS isn't until mid-July, but registration is now open. So please get on that and register as soon as you can so we can make some solid plans. You can find that on our website. Our next Dad's Breakfast, which is breakfast plus Bible study. Is there anything better? I mean, what a combo. We're going to do that Dad's Breakfast at Black Bear Diner. Man, just keeps getting better, doesn't it? At 6 a.m. Keeps getting better, right? Yeah. But it's worth it, definitely worth it. 6 a.m. Black Bear Diner, May 17th is our next one, Friday morning, May 17th. May 17th is also, just to give you a heads up and put it on your calendars, it's our school's musical, so a big end-of-the-year musical. We're very excited for that. May 17th, Friday night for that one. Other announcements you'll find in the weekly news. May God continue to bless you as you ascribe worth to him every day. Please stick around to greet one another. Confirmands, come with me.